All right. Last week, we began a series entitled Infinitely More. And today's sermon is entitled More in You. Let me give you the theme verse. It's Ephesians 3:20, and it says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Ephesians 3:20. Friends, I just want to tell you that this time of the coronavirus and this pandemic has shown a lot of pastors in small churches that they can do more than they ever imagined. I've kind of got a chuckle out of some of the things I've seen online from some of my fellow pastors. They had not ventured into the world of Facebook. They had not ventured into the world of YouTube. They had not ventured into the world of technology when it came to doing church. And all of a sudden, they were forced to. And I will tell you that God has moved in mighty ways and has allowed them to do infinitely more than they could ever imagine. Well, last week, we began this series and we talked about the fact that God always has the end in sight before he begins a plan. Friends, let me tell you, God, and some of you are going to say, "Pastor, we get tired of hearing this." Well, I'm sorry. This is something that needs to be repeated over and over. God has never been taken by surprise at anything that has, quote unquote, gone wrong in your life or mine. This time of the coronavirus did not catch God by surprise. He didn't slap his forehead 6 weeks ago and say, "Oh my goodness, what's going on here?" God already knew it was going to happen. He has a plan for it, and he already knows the end result that is his will and desire. And friends, I want to just tell you, I want to be a part of that plan today, and I hope you do too. Last week we learned that part of God's plan from the very beginning in Genesis is that he was going to take us to the cross of Christ, but not just stop there. He was going to take us through the cross of Christ onto the resurrection and begin a journey of in history that we've all been called to be a part of. And the cross and the resurrection was not the end. It was only a new beginning. Well, today, God's plan calls for us to participate actively in his plan and to experience infinitely more. Now, if I had you all here, I'm going to ask the question as though I do. And I'll ask my wife and son who are helping me with the technology side of things, if they'll kind of participate. How many of you have ever played any kind of game or sport? Okay, you have. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity for the family to go out to the new shooting range. And son, did you have fun actually pulling the trigger? Yeah, he did. He enjoyed that. He loved it. It wouldn't have been much fun if I just said, "Okay, guys, let's go out to the shooting range, and you all take a chair and sit over there, and you just watch me shoot at the targets." That wouldn't have been any fun. Can I tell you? God's plans for history, God's plans for this church, God's plan for this community, God's plan for your family, God's plan for you as an individual will not be a whole lot of fun if you just passively sit back and do nothing. God wants us to participate. Well, sometimes the problem is that we need to realize that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You see, we oftentimes feel very inadequate. We sit back and we're like, "Oh my goodness, I can't. And Lord, here's all the reasons I can't. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do." Friends, let me tell you, God sees more in you than you do in yourself. Don't let others tell you why you cannot. Do not let the world system tell you why you cannot. Start listening to why God will tell you that you can. Because God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You see, Jesus, when he began his ministry, after faithfully being a good Jewish son until about the age of 30, and taking care of Mary and the younger siblings, and learning from Joseph how to be a carpenter, and keeping the carpenter's shop open, and working. We're assuming that Joseph passed away sometime before Jesus reached the age of 30. But Jesus then set out on his mission and his ministry, and he saw more in 12 men than what the world ever saw in them, and he called them to be a part of his plan. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and you'll have to excuse me, it's a little small back there on the screen I'm trying to read, so I'm going to move down here a minute. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's also the Sea of Galilee, and with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got in one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little further from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Can I tell you why Jesus wanted the boat to be pushed away from the shore? It's because he didn't have a microphone like I do, but he knew if he pushed away, the water would work as a natural amplifier. All right? Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered him, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up to the shore and they left everything and followed him. Jesus didn't go to the Sanhedrin. Jesus didn't go to the temple. Jesus didn't go to the synagogues. He starts hanging around the Sea of Galilee, and he calls fishermen. Can I just tell you, in that day and time, the people loved what the fishermen caught and sold, but they didn't care much for the fishermen. They were considered kind of one of the lower rungs of society, mainly because they smelled like fish all the time. Let's be honest, most of us don't like that fishy smell. We like fish when it's cooked and put it on our plate so we can eat it, but we don't always like that fishy smell. But God, Jesus saw them and said, you know what? These are who I want. See, here's the thing we need to realize. Jesus knew where he was going to find something that's very important to him. You see, Jesus was looking, and God is looking today for obedience over ability. There are many people I have encountered that have all kinds of potential and ability, but God has never been able to use them in his plan because they wouldn't obey. There's some of you right now that I'm talking to this morning. You have all the ability in the world. You have all the potential that anybody could desire, but you will not be obedient to God. You won't give up your habits. You won't surrender your will to him. You will not do what he's called you to do. One of the problems that some of us have, it's not that we have bad habits, but we get caught up in what I call the I'm just a syndrome. I'm just this old person. I'm just this young person. I'm just this. I'm just that. We make up excuses. Friends, don't get caught up in the I'm just a syndrome. But when God calls us, we simply need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some of you today, when we are able to come back into the walls of this building, and I'm talking specifically right now to some of you that are actually have been a part of this church family, and if you're watching online and you're in the Clayton area, when we open the doors again, if you're not part of a church family already, we want to invite you to come here. I want you to become part of whatever the new normal is for Clayton AG Church for the rest of us. When God calls, we need to say yes. But here's what the problem is for some of you. For some of you, you need to realize God wants to call you outside of your comfort zone. Some of you have got yourselves wrapped up in your little cocoon and you're comfortable there, and yet you wonder why God never seems to move in a mighty way for you like he does for others. And it's because you're in that comfort zone and you refuse to step out. As I said a while ago, some of my fellow pastors had to step out of their comfort zone. Their church had to step out of its comfort zone and begin to do what we've been doing for a long time, and that's putting our services out there on social media. Friends, I'm going to tell you, stepping out of the comfort zone is scary, but it's the only way to be a participant in God's plan. We're going to take just a few minutes, and we're going to look at three times in his life that Simon Peter had to step out of the boat. You see, the boat was his comfort zone. He loved being in that boat. He was a master fisherman. He was good at what he did. He enjoyed it. It's all he knew. He'd been a fisherman since he was a boy, helping his dad. Now him and his brother Andrew, along with their partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had what apparently was a pretty successful fishing business as far as it could go in that time. But all of a sudden, three times, he has to be called out of his comfort zone. The first time we've already read about, it was back there in Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It's when Jesus called him out and says, look, I want you to be a fisher of men. Peter had to trust this carpenter turned teacher and step out of the boat and become his disciple. Now, I want you to think about the story. We read it a while ago. We won't go back there. Jesus is hanging around on the seashore. They've all come in from a hard night's work of trying to fish, and they hadn't caught anything. You know, some of you, some of us, right now we're in a situation where we're hoping that certain things will happen in our lives, but for whatever reason, it's like being out on the lake fishing all night, and we've caught nothing. So Jesus says to Peter, hey, let me use your boat. I want to talk to the people. I want to teach the people. So they push away from shore, and Jesus begins to teach. And Peter's listening to this. Then all of a sudden, he's done. Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, drop your net on the other side of the boat. Now, I haven't looked to this in depth, but I've heard other preachers who have. Apparently, when they went out to fish, there was a correct side of the boat to drop the net on, and there was an incorrect side to drop it on based on just how they had to pull it in. Jesus, first of all, tells Peter, go to the wrong side of the boat and drop your net. And then you also have to understand, they caught fish at night during the day when the sun came up. The fish weren't really coming to the surface to look for food because of the heat. So Jesus says, it's the wrong time of the day. Go on the wrong side of the boat, drop the net in. And Peter says, Lord, we've worked hard all night. We didn't catch anything. I'm sure in the back of his mind, if we could read Peter's thoughts, what Peter would actually be saying is, Jesus, you're nuts. You're a carpenter. Now, if you want to tell me how to repair my boat, I'll listen to you. But Jesus, it's not going to work. Some of you right now, God's been calling you to do some things, and that's been your response. You've been saying, God, it won't work. I'm just fill in the blank. Lord, I know what I'm talking about, and I don't think you do, but then Simon Peter finally says, Lord, because you said so, I'll do it. Friend, today, if you want to see that infinitely more in you, you need to say, Lord, because you said so, I will do it. So, you know, we read it. Peter and them, they dropped the net on the wrong side of the boat in the wrong time of the day, and all of a sudden they have a catch of fish coming in that is so large the nets begin to break, and they have to call for their partners to help them haul it into the boat. I have a feeling it's the biggest one they've ever, biggest catch they've ever had, and probably at that moment the dollar signs are starting to add up in Peter's head, and Jesus looks at him and says, I want you to leave it all now and follow me. I want to make you a fisher of men. Peter had to step out of his comfort zone. Peter had to leave the boat. The next time we see this is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 29. I'm trying to make sure to see where I'm at. There we go. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 29, we find that once again, Peter is in the boat. This time he's there with the rest of the disciples, and he's there with Jesus. And it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied. I tell you, I've said this for many years. Peter's one of my favorite characters because he knows how to open mouth and insert both feet right up to the kneecap sometimes. Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now, I've stopped right there because we all know he looked away and began to sink and cried out to Jesus. And a lot of people want to focus on the fact he sank. I want to focus on the fact that he got out of the boat and walked on water, and the other 11 sat in the boat and didn't get the chance. Any of the 12 could have done what Peter did if they'd have been willing to step out of the boat and got out of their comfort zone. Peter heard the call, and he did the impossible. Friends, I believe right now that there are some of us, your pastor included, that if we'll listen to the call of God and we'll be willing to step out of the boat, that we can walk on water, we can do the impossible, not because of us, but because of who it is that's calling us out of the boat today. You want to see more in you? Get out of the boat and walk to Jesus on the water. Well, then there was one more time. We need to realize that God's plan still stands even when we fail. The last time we see Peter having to step out of the boat and get out of his comfort zone was after a great failure. I don't have these scriptures on the slide for you, but we'll put them up there and you can look them up. In Luke chapter 22, beginning of verse 54. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. And Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. And she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. And he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. And a little later, someone else also saw him and said, you're also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, well, certainly this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Another one of the Gospels says he began to curse and swear. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. We know the story. Peter denied him. And in the meantime, the crucifixion takes place. The resurrection takes place. Jesus appears to the disciples in the locked room. Then we get to John chapter 21, verse 3. The disciples, they've seen Jesus resurrected, but they're still not sure what they're supposed to do. So what does Peter do? You've got to understand, even in spite of his failure, Peter is still looked upon as a leader by the other disciples, by the other 10. Judas has already hung himself at this point. John chapter 21, verse 3, Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Friends, there's a lesson there for us. If we want to be a participant in God's plan, if we want to see more in us, then we need to understand that we can't go back to the old life. We can't return to what God's called us out of. In my own life, that happened one time many years ago. Things were not going real well in ministry at that moment. My wife and I were uncertain of what the future held. And I had some dear pastor friends, some of them much older than I was, that I highly respected. And one of them said to me, maybe you need to make some phone calls and go back to the type of job you had before. Go back to it for a while and take some time off. Well, I listened and I made a phone call one day. I finally gave in to that advice and I called. Even though I knew that God had called me out of that and told me that I was not to go back to that, I went ahead and I made the call and I called a former coworker. And when he answered the phone and saw it was me, he said, man, it's good to hear from you. How are you? I said, I'm doing fine. We talked for a couple of minutes and I said, how's the job market in this field? He says, it's tight. He says, no one's hiring. There's nothing for you. You know, the truth is, my stomach was churning the whole time when I made that call. And the minute he said those words, the churning in my stomach stopped. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me in my heart and mind and said, are you over that now? Do you understand? I told you not to go back to that. You see, Peter tried to go back to his old comfort zone because of his failure. But it didn't work. We go down to verse 7 in John 21. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and he jumped into the water. You see, Peter went back to his comfort zone. He went back to the boat. Once again, it was a night reminiscent of when he first had been called by Jesus. They fished all night and they caught nothing. Friends, when you go back to the old life, there's no longer that it's no longer that case of more in you. You go back and you find out there's nothing for you in the past. They didn't catch anything. And all of a sudden they see somebody on the shore who's got a fire going and got fish already on the fire. And he hollers out and he says, why don't you guys come on in and join me? And John recognized who it was. He says, it's the Lord. And once again, Peter had to get out of his comfort zone and get out of the boat. You can read the rest of that story for yourself later. It's where Jesus calls them, says, bring what little you have, add it to what I have, and together we'll have breakfast together. And Jesus reinstates Peter with the three times of asking him, do you love me? Friends, Jesus sees more in you than you see in yourself. Paul later expressed it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, Paul says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Let me word it this way. Think about what you used to be before you started saying yes to the Lord and becoming a part of his plan. Paul says, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God, that's a tie-in for our Wednesday night Bible study right there. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Friends, God sees more in you than you see in yourself. So let me ask you a question. Who are you going to believe today? Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to your mind that's constantly bombarded with negativism from the world around you and from self-doubt? Or are you going to listen to the one who created you and called you? Oh. See, if Jesus could take a bunch of fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, and whatever else some of those other two or three were in their lives, if God could take them, and the world be turned upside down with the message of the cross. Friends, today God can use you, no matter who you are, because he sees more in you than you see in yourself. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if this message has done anything for you today, touched you in any way, I want to encourage you, please go to the church website down there, claytonag.org. You'll find a link there that says to click there to send your prayer request. I want you to click there and email me whether it's a prayer request, whether it's a praise report, whether it's a question. Maybe you want to know how you can ramp up your relationship with the Lord. Maybe today you're watching and you've never began a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have questions you want to ask me. And I will get back to you as quickly as possible. But today I want you to join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, today I want to have infinitely more in my life than I could possibly do on my own. God, I know that I sometimes do not see in myself every good thing that you have placed there. Lord, you see more in me than I do. So God, today, let me become an active participant in your plan so that I can experience the infinitely more that you have for me and that you want in me. And Heavenly Father, right now I pray if there are those watching this that have never begun a relationship with you, that they will, in just a moment, they will pray this prayer with me, and they will do it sincerely from their heart, and they will begin a relationship with you. Lord, if that's you, friend, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, and I ask you to come into my heart and life and help me to live obedient to you every day. And I ask it in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Join us Wednesday night for Bible study.